This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Finding quality care for an adolescent with a mental illness is difficult enough, but when that teenager also has developmental disabilities, getting proper treatment becomes even more challenging. Families face tough choices about where and how to get help for their children. The NNO's Mandy Locke recently reported on persistent problems with the North Carolina mental health care system, particularly when it comes to children with disabilities. Mandy Locke, welcome to the State of Things.
Great to be here, Frank.
You, in your series, visited Zachary and his family, and I think that would be an instructive place to start. Tell us about Zachary's case.
Sure. Zachary is a 14-year-old young man who was a foster child. He'd been taken away from his biological parents as an infant and placed in the home of a woman named Kathy Hamner, who eventually adopted him. She and her husband care for Zachary and have for the past 12 years. But Zachary very early in life started to exhibit some signs that troubled her. He was diagnosed with childhood bipolar disorder, and he has an IQ, which is borderline. It's in the mid-60s, so he has some developmental disabilities as well. So things have been a challenge for Zachary's family as they try to get him the help he needs when he starts to cycle through the symptoms of his mental disorders.
Well, tell us about those cycles, because that determines the level of care and help that he needs, right?
That's right. For the Hamner family, Zachary's situation has a very sort of known and predictable cycle. He will reach some sort of stability. They'll get his medication just right. He'll have the sort of structure and supervision he needs. But then when they move him out of a really structured facility like the one he's been in South Carolina into a place like a group home, he starts to backslide. And the goal always is to get him home, get him the services he needs, and get him some sort of stability so that he can return home to his parents. But every time that he moves to a less restrictive environment, he starts to lose the control and his symptoms start to get more and more aggravated, eventually leading the family to some sort of really scary crisis.
And so, and you've talked about a facility in South Carolina. Why would he go to South Carolina? Is there nothing here, or is it a better facility there that his parents determined was a better place for him? Why South Carolina?
Places like Zachary's in South Carolina are known as psychiatric residential treatment facilities. And I think that everyone would agree that the capacity we need for young people in this state, we don't have inside of our borders. There aren't very many facilities, and the facilities that do exist have very stringent parameters about the kind of child that they're able to serve. So the facilities that are inside the state haven't been able to serve Zachary because he has a developmental disability. And sometimes the typical treatment regimens that these places use may not resonate with somebody who has a developmental disability, who might have limitations in their capacity to grasp certain things, particularly talk therapy. So this facility, which is 3.5 hours away from the Hamner family, was willing to accept Zachary with both of his diagnoses, both the mental illness and his lower IQ. And he's been there for about 10 months, but it's been a really, really big drain on the family. They want to be in his life. They want him to know that he's loved. So every 2 weeks, they make this 3.5-hour one-way journey to Rock Hill to sit in a sterile visiting room to remind their son that he's not forgotten, that they want him home, they want him with them, but they want him well.
And that's what we would call the most restrictive environment, which is what he needs at the time. But again, the whole push has been in mental health and in the law to find the least restrictive. So as he comes back and moves through these other kinds of care facilities, halfway homes, et cetera, where are they and who runs them?
The state relies entirely on a network of private providers. So these facilities are private companies. They're nonprofits sometimes, other times they're for-profit companies, and the state contracts with them to take care of people like Zachary. And disability rights advocates would tell you sometimes that's just not enough. If the private the private business world can't provide enough opportunities and capacity, then the state ought to be involved in that. I will tell you, Frank, that the state has noticed, has been paying attention to the number of young people that we have outside of our state being cared for at these psychiatric residential treatment facilities. I mean, to date, we have about 200 young people under the age of 18 having to seek this kind of service outside of the state border. And state leaders do recognize that that's not appropriate. We want to be able to provide mental health services for the young people inside their border because the goal is to keep them as close to their communities, as close to their families and support networks as possible, but also keep them safe and get them well.
Well, how is it done? In those facilities, the one in South Carolina, for instance, is it a private facility or is it a state-run facility?
It is a private facility. I don't know the exact numbers, Frank, but a large number, I would imagine, of their clients, though, are there on Medicaid. So the state and federal government is paying for that child to be there. But the company that runs the facility there and the facilities that exist in our state are run by private companies.
And what's the overall scope? You talked about the number being somewhere in the area of 200 of young people who are crossing the border to get help. Overall, how many people find themselves in Zachary's condition in this state?
As of July of this year, there were 200 children like Zachary at these kinds of facilities outside of North Carolina. And that's compared to about 350 who are being served inside the state. Now, I will tell you that the state has paid particular attention trying to draw down the numbers of children who are seeking care or needing care outside of the state. So that number of 200 is down from 300 last year. There was a facility that opened up in Garner, which relieved some of that burden, but clearly it's still not enough if 200 children of the roughly 550 needing this kind of care are having to go outside of North Carolina to get it.
Still, I wonder what the economics are. If there is this need or a demand, if you want to put it that way, since we're putting this in the hands of private providers, does this mean that the demand isn't enough in terms of, in economic terms, that it just wouldn't pay to build such a facility in North Carolina?
I think people who run these facilities would tell you that this is a really complex and tricky business model, particularly if you are reliant on an ever-changing government insurance program. So any time that your business model is reliant on Medicaid to pay the bills, I think that there is some degree of uncertainty. Obviously, we've seen many, many changes in Medicaid happen in this state and nationally, and those will continue to shift in the coming years. Our state has rearranged the model for providing care time and time again over the last 20 years in this state. So if you were trying to build a business, I think that there couldn't be, this is certainly one of the uncertain kinds of arenas to be in.
Are there legal requirements for providing care for kids like Zachary? And in other words, we know that the state can require certain kinds of care and then just not be able to deliver. Does he find himself in that situation?
I think certainly his family has been frustrated by the network of care that they've had at their disposal. They've been frustrated by the quality of care. They've also been frustrated by the distance they're having to go to get that sort of care. And again, all of his placements have some sort of clock on them. You know, there's a deadline that looms over them. So when he reaches some sort of stability or the doctors and staff there think that he's safe enough to be moved into a less restrictive environment, he's got to go. Because the goal, the courts have held time and time again, that these children need to be in the least restrictive environment possible with as many comforts and freedoms as the rest of us have, as close to their family and their communities as possible.
So you say people in state government are paying attention to the fact that kids like Zachary are having to cross the border, that the care isn't quite adequate or quite right. Do they have any idea about how to solve the problem? Where are they going to start?
I think everyone in the state government would tell you that this is a moment of study and strategy. There's been a new leader just a few months ago put in charge of the state's division that handles mental health services as well as services for those with developmental disabilities. He's been traveling around the state, meeting with people, trying to figure out where the gaps are and how to address them. Also, in the last few years, the state transitioned into a new model of administering these services, and they kind of moved away from a community government-based system and contracted with private providers. Just in Wake and Durham County alone, for instance, they just transitioned in February of this year over to this private organization that administers. And that organization right now is trying to assess where the gaps are, what the capacity is, and whether we have children in the appropriate kinds of places at this moment. So I think that it's fair to say this year is a time in which they're studying, but the answers aren't yet settled.
All right, Mandy, always good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Mandy Locke is a reporter with the NNO. On the State of Things today, just ahead, we're talking trash. Literally, going to talk with two people who travel the country to figure out where our garbage goes. You'll find out on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.